Be in Acts chapter 2 tonight. I'll want to give Dennis a little bit of time. We got to see the, I did recognize that that was the one that we saw last year, by the way, but that's okay. Daryl did a nice job, put some little music there to the thing and fixed us up. Amen. All right. Oh, and one other thing too, I mentioned it to my Sunday school class and that, we got to run another little business meeting real quick at the end of the service about the church lawnmower. And make a decision about that, but it'll only take a second to take care of that tonight when we get done. Okay? All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Familiar text for us. I love this text. I love this whole chapter here, but I love this part of it. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for Dennis and Carol, Lord, and we pray your hand be upon them, be upon the school, Lord, their family as well. Meet with us tonight, Lord, speak to our hearts as we look to your word. We'll thank you in advance for what's going to be accomplished and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is the gold standard, the gold standard. Last week I had talked about, kindling a fire. I was speaking about that and how that a fire started amongst, a small minority of God's people would be the cure for the cold, the dead, the indifferent church that we deal with today. And so tonight I want to talk about the church in relation to that first church there, the New Testament church that we just looked at in the book of Acts. You know, I look at that as the gold standard church. You know, a standard is something whereby you measure something or compare to. I worked in Washington, D.C., and a lot of the public or government buildings, they have a building, the Department of Weights and Measures. They have standards there. In other words, something that's the set size or the set weight. Like if you want to make a ruler, a 1 foot ruler, they have a 1 foot standard. See, the best thing is you go there, somebody would take a template or something and go there and set it up against that standard and make their marks. And that was how they would build their rulers to that standard. You don't build it to somebody else's ruler because it could be off just a little bit. You build it to the exact standard there. You could do it with weights. If you wanted something to weigh a certain amount of pounds, they would have exactly a pound or 10 pound, whatever increment it is. And so you build it to that standard. We have a standard time. There's a clock out there somewhere. I don't know how your house is. If it's like mine, probably every clock in the house is on a different time. They all run it on their own thing. One's fast, one's slow. I had one in my kitchen that I look at a lot. And it was starting to run slower and slower. I knew the battery was getting weak. And I told Sherry, if I don't change that thing, we're going to end up being late somewhere here pretty soon because that thing's running 10 minutes behind, got a new battery. But you have a standard for time even as well. And, just think if the world would be a mess if everybody just set their clocks on whatever they thought the time was. There wasn't a standard time to go by. And, you set your clocks by just whatever time you had. Everything would be all over the place. Musical instruments have a standard. There's a pitch. I've watched Henry. There's a blind guy that comes, Henry Boynton. He comes and tunes the piano. He can't see anything, but he can hear pretty good. But he'll go on the first. He'll feel around on that piano and figure out where everything is. He'll get it undone like he needs it. And he'll get that first note. He'll tune up, listen to a pitchfork, I think they call it. And he'll listen to it. And it'll make a certain chime. And he'll set that first key according to that. And then he'll tune all the rest of the keys according to the way that one is sounded right there. And, when you get, so there's notes, we have musical notes. Those are the standards. Suppose all the choir members of the church decided to sing a different pitch. That happens to us every now and then. But if we sing a different pitch, then it wouldn't sound very good, does it? Doesn't sound very good, does it? So it would be a mess. So you have to have a standard. So we look at the church, you know, the model church. The church that God expects us to have, or the kind of church we do expect to have. And we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. I believe that's a good model church right there. What was going on with the church? I look at it as the gold standard for the New Testament church. Now, it wasn't a perfect church, I know, because it was it still had people, you know, that were dealing with people, but it was pretty close. And I don't know that we'll ever have a perfect church in this lifetime, but I want to say this, they had a standard that they sought to reach that standard. And I believe as a church, any church that we have, or a church that we establish or start or we're a part of, I believe that we ought to seek to reach the standard that Jesus Christ set and God set in His Word for that church. They had one. They dealt with anybody in the church that tried to lower that standard. And I think that's a problem that we have today a lot of times in churches. There's too many churches that have decided that people today are not going to go for a church that has a high standard. So therefore, they lower their standards down to the level that they think people can achieve. And I just don't think that's very effective. I don't think it's correct. Because people, wherever you put it, listen, people will live down to that standard. Generally speaking, you have to have a standard here to try to get the people to here. And if you lower the standard to here, the people are going to fall down to here. It's just always a scale there that they never, you try to quite get to. And so I think that we ought to have a standard. I think we have one here in the book of Acts. I mean, listen, God didn't say, or Jesus didn't say, I'm going to build my church and y'all just build it however you want. I mean, He didn't say that. He said, listen, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to give you an example in the Word of God. And this is how a church ought to be. And I think when you look at the one in the book of Acts, I mean, they were certainly a lot more effective than we are in the world today. I've never seen a church as effective as the church is in the book of Acts. As a matter of fact, with thousands of people getting saved on a daily basis. So I believe, I don't think God sets a standard that we can't live up to. He doesn't set one that we can't reach. And, I want to say this too. I talked last week a little bit about how you start a fire. You start a fire with kindling, just a little bit of wood. You know, it's a small little piece. You don't put all the big wood in there to get the fire going to start with. You get a little fire going on the small pieces of wood. And in any church, any revival, seldom does the whole church get on fire for God at one time. That just, it could happen. It could happen. I pray to God it would happen. But it's usually a small core group of people that get on fire for God, and that fire catches throughout the rest of the church. And, I want to say this, that, that if we, have a standard, if we want to live to a certain standard, or the standard that God set in His Word, I believe that, we're still going to be in the minority, in that area right there. It's going to be a small group, the church within the church. And so, if a fire is started in your life, or you make a decision to reach up to a gold standard in any area of your life, your family, your church, whatever, don't expect to be in the minority. Don't expect that. You're pretty much going to be walking to the beat, of a different drummer. And to begin with, I wrote this down, and then I wrote something under it right quick. I said, it might just be you. And then I said, well, it might just be you and God. Let's put it that way. It might just be you. You can't wait and look around and see what everybody else is doing. You just got to say, I'm going to live my life for God, whether anybody else lives their life for God or not. I mean, that's what we have to do. And so, one of the things is this, and there's a reason for that. There's too many people. We get so comfortable and complacent in our little life. We like our routine like they are. We don't like anybody to disrupt anything. We always sit in the same seats. We don't want anybody getting in our seat or roughing anything up like that. Too many people are afraid of a heavenly disturbance. They're just afraid of a heavenly disturbance. But when you preach the gospel, this is what they tell us when we started preaching. When I was going to preach, and old preachers would tell me, said, look, you need to get something out of the people. Make them mad, make them glad, make them sad. I mean, you know, make them something. They ought to, you know, something ought to happen to you. I don't care which it is. You know, mad, glad, or sad. I mean, the gospel's going to do something to you right there. It's better for you to go out mad, sad, or glad than to just go out. And that's what happens in a lot of churches today, folks. They just go out. They come in one way and they go out the same way they went out. Nothing ever happened because, you know, the preachers or the churches are afraid of somebody getting disturbed, and the people themselves are afraid of getting disturbed. Nothing, you know, nothing different. And so, listen, self-denying discipleship, it has a price with that. I mean, if we're going to have a church, listen, you look at this church right here in the book of Acts, even that church, and everything looks pretty good. Everybody's pretty happy right there in that book. But I'm going to tell you what, if you try to have a church like that, not everybody in every church is going to sit for that right there, even in that church right there. There's a lot of folks today that are in churches that would not stay in that church right there. Because there's too much going on for God, brother. I mean, there's too much life-changing going on and too much dedication and too many people, the fanatics that are sold out for God. They love the Lord and they want to do for God, and everything else goes on the back burner except God, instead of like way it is in churches today when everything but God, you know, God's on the back burner except instead of everything else. Nothing's on the back burner except God. He's all back there, you know, by himself. They don't put anything of their life on the back burner. And so we see that, you know, today. And so, you know, it has a price that if you're willing to pay it, you can have a church that's like the gold standard church right there. And every church needs this, and we need it as well. We need a dedicated minority that's confessed, cleansed, and committed. I mean, that's those are the three things you need right there. Confess, cleanse, and committed. And that's how you get things done. I was telling somebody got a little bit testy in here one day. We got to talking about it and said, well, you know that about worshiping God anywhere. Yeah, you can, but you can't serve God anywhere. I mean, Jesus Christ established the church. You know, you have to operate through the church somehow. And if everybody is putting God on the back burner all the time, we won't have a choir, we won't have Vacation Bible School, we won't have a youth ministry, we won't have Bible camp, we won't have anything if nobody will sell out and be committed to Jesus Christ. And so when we do that, listen, you get dedicated, cleansed, committed, you get on fire for God, you try to reach that gold standard that God has established, I'll tell you what's going to happen, two things right here. And I've seen it before and over my years of ministry. I'll see one or two people kind of get on fire for God. You know, a little spark happens over here and a little spark happens over here. Two things usually happen. The undedicated majority will smother out the fire, or the flaming few will set the crowd on fire and make it so hot that some may go to another church where they can sleep in the service on Sunday morning. I mean, that, you know, that'll be what happens a lot of times. You know, and I've seen it happen both ways. I've seen two things happen right there. You know, we lost people. They blasted off out of here when this church grew and we built on the new bill. We're not ready to build. We don't want to. And then the church is moving. You're leaving us in the dust and we're just leaving, you know, when something was happening. I mean, we had 140 people packed in the other side over there, one bathroom, all the ladies 10 foot deep out the front door waiting on church. And somebody looked me right and said, we're just not ready to build. I said, if we're not ready to build, who is? You know, man, when are we going to get ready? I said, people aren't going to stand around here all day. Women aren't going to come to the church when they got to stand in line for 10 minutes after church starts just to go to the bathroom. I mean, it's not happening. I mean, but it got people all in a panic, man, leave them in the dust right there. And so those things happen. But I want to say, listen, too, if you do get on fire for God, don't let the undedicated majority smother out the fire. Because you will be more than likely, at least at the start, in the minority. You just will be. That's just the way it's going to be. And that's okay. Like I said, you know, we don't need to spend our time sighing for the church that was. Or do we need to settle for the church that is? But we need to make our goal the church that ought to be. You know, that's just the way it is. And so, you know, we look at the New Testament church, and I don't have a problem saying this. I can probably say it just about in any church in America or any church in the world. We look at the New Testament church in Acts, and we see that we're slipping away, or we have slipped away from the standard somewhat. Different degrees right there. Now, don't let that discourage you. Rather, look at it as a challenge. You know, let's look at it as a challenge, to be challenged to live up to the church the way it is. So we see in Acts, I said, well, I told you I spared what's her name back there? Eileen. My mind's going blank. I spared her doing all the notes right there. I got it right here. Look, we see in Acts right here, we see a worshiping church. We see an evangelistic church. We see a learning church. And we see a loving church. And if you look over on the left there, this is what they call an acrostic, if you didn't know that. We got the words well. We got the words well right there. That's how you get well. That's how your church gets well right there. It's a worshiping church. It's an evangelistic church. It's a learning church. And it's a loving church. And you see it all in the book of Acts right here. So we need to get well. We'll look at those points real quick tonight. We see right off the bat, you know, we see a worshiping church. You know, it says they were saved in verse 41. They were baptized. They were added to the church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They fellowshipped. Fellowship's important, folks. Breaking of bread, they ate together, and in prayers. And then it said many wonders and signs were done, and they all that believed were together. There's church right there, ecclesia, called out assembly. They had all things common. They sold their possessions, goods, part of them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily. How about that? They had church every day. One accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness, singleness of heart. And then it says praising God and having favor with all the people. And so, and then the Lord added to the church daily. People were saved daily because of it. So we see that it was a church that was built on prayer. It was a church that was built on worship. And that we even see there was wonders, signs, and salvations, which are wonders and signs, by the way. And listen, they didn't follow after the wonders and signs. The wonders and signs followed after them. I mean, man, you know what? You start getting busy for God. You start worshiping God in spirit and truth. You start serving God. I'm going to tell you what, God's going to do some things. I was sitting there while we were singing, while the music was playing, and Dennis was showing the pictures up there. I got to thinking about this. When God shows up, you think about the times God showed up. Most of the time God showed up when God's people got together and we're doing something, worshiping God and praying and praising God. That's when God shows up. And when you start serving God, worshiping God in the right way, listen, God's going to show up. And when God shows up, that's when something supernatural happens, something out of the realm of what we think is possibility, the realm of impossibility. When God starts to move and you think, man, what happened here and this and that? And I don't know what happened today, man. I tell you what, it was a day, wasn't it? Man, I got here this morning. Man, we had visitors coming in left and right. Got one set of them back here. But, you know, there was another family came in. Then here comes Dwayne strolling in. I about fell over dead as a doornail right there. Kathy'd been missing. Kathy was able to come on. She looked. She said, I'm quitting my job. It's keeping me away from church. She said, She comes rolling in, man. And then this other set of visitors come in. And Honesty's up. And Gavin's parents showed up. I thought, what in the world is going on, man? Huh? We can't have this. No, I wasn't thinking like that. I was thinking, man, listen, man, you know what? You just keep serving God. Because I'm going to tell you what, man, I mean, I pray every day. I read my Bible and I study, and I'm not saying I couldn't do better and be more dedicated than that, but I mean, I keep thinking, Lord, you know, I'm doing what I, you know, and you just wanting God to bless. You want God to bless, and sometimes you wonder if that's ever going to happen. Then you have a day like today, and you're thinking, all right, yeah, man, we pour me out a blessing that we can't receive. Amen. We can stand it to do that. But God shows up. Something happens when God shows up. And so, you know, a lot of times I think as people of God, we just kind of sit around and we're waiting for something to happen. Man, listen, these people, man, they were fellowshipping. They were breaking bread. They said, listen, anybody got a need? We're going to meet the need. They were loving each other. They were praying together, man. They were eating together. They hung out together. I mean, they were winning souls to Christ. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And listen, things, man, can you imagine the buzz? When I read that, I just read it. I always read it really fast. I read that really fast because there's like a certain buzz in the air there, right? I mean, I like that. It's a buzz, man, because, man, it's like, woo, boy, God is doing something. Everybody's excited about that. And, you know, a lot of people sit around and wait for something to happen, or, you know, we try to make something happen ourselves so that hopes that that'll draw a crowd and that'll create the buzz right there. Listen, what I like about this, see, we're so much, we schedule everything. You know, we're going to have a revival and it's going to be on such and such a date and it's going to run Monday through Friday. And, you know, we're cutting her off on Friday. It don't matter whether God's in the middle of the revival or not. Friday's the last day, you know, we're having it and we're going to have it. My church, when I grew, we had a spring and a fall revival, whether God was planning on coming or not. We were going to have a spring and fall revival. And you know, we try to schedule it. Okay, Lord, we're having a revival. We're waiting until spring, though. We're not having it. You know, like, we're going to wait till fall. We're not having one. We got one coming up this spring. We've done the same thing. We got a revival coming this spring. We're not having one till then now. We're not going to have a revival. Don't you let a revival break out here till spring. I mean, you know, we schedule everything. And, you know, we schedule what we're going to do. Okay, remember, visitation. Now we're going, well, Lord, we're going to go out and do your work on Thursday. We're going to go out and do your work on Thursday from 7 o'clock until hopefully we're done by 8:30. You know, we're going to go out and do that. I mean, we try to schedule every little thing that we do. I see here in the book, they didn't schedule everything. I mean, they met daily. They did meet daily, but it wasn't like, well, we're going to be back on Wednesday night, and then we're going to be back on Sunday, and maybe some of us will come back on Sunday night. You know, we spend a lot of time scheduling things. We schedule when we're going to worship God. We schedule when we're going to witness. We schedule when we're going to act like a Christian. You know, we schedule when we're going to worship. You know, they worship for them was a spontaneous event. I mean, they just worshiped God. I mean, that's what they did. Listen here, I sent a text out last week about this, about, you know, about the church. How did I word it, Terry? I can't even remember. It's... You know, we're not go to church. We don't go to church. We got to get to the place where we realize we are the church. You know, you don't go to church. We are the church. The church wasn't something they went to. It was what they were. They were Christians and they were the church. Everybody, listen to me. Everybody here. It's just a baby crying. Don't pay attention to it. This is where you got to get your head. You're not going to church. You are the church.
Amen.
We are the church. We're just coming to meet. We're just meeting. We're having a worship service. We're having a prayer meeting. We're the church. We're not going to the church. If you are, then get saved, and God will add you to the church. Then you won't be. You'll be the church, right? That's the whole difference right there. You got to get that in your head that you're the church. Their worship was sincere. When you worship God, your focus is shifted. See, our natural inclination is to worship other gods. Now, I don't think any of you here got a golden calf or something that you got a little shrine to, you're bound down. But we do have other gods sometimes. Could be money, could be your family, huh? Could be hobbies, you know, whatever it could be. It can be, listen, here's the big one right here. Here's the biggest idol of all time. Self. You worship yourself. We pamper ourselves. We cater to ourselves. We look out for ourselves. Huh? We treat ourselves good. God is up there thinking he wishes that we treated him as good as we treat ourselves. Huh? God is wishing that we treated him as good as we treat ourselves. Our natural inclination is to do that because we're born sinners and we have that built in. But worship with our mind and our heart. Now, I thought about this pretty good. I believe something can be in your mind, but your heart not be into it. You know, matter of fact, something can be in your mind and you just hate it. You know, not that you're supposed to hate it. But if something's in your heart, it will be in your mind.
Amen.
Huh? If something's in your heart, it will be in your mind. And I think true worship requires that. You know, it's got to be in our heart and mind. It does have to be in our heart and mind. But if you get the heart end of it straightened out, the mind end of it will be on top of it. You understand that? And so, you know, that's how really you worship something. Worship, adoration is one of the words. Adore. Adoration. You think about it. You love it. You talk about it. You know, that's worship right there. Passion. Passion. Carol said she used that word the other day. She came in there and she looked at all my deer heads and stuff on the wall. She, that's your passion. Pretty good passion for that. It is. It is. But, you know, and God is my passion too. And, you know, we you have to have it. So, you know, that's why I got that stuff plastered all over the wall, you know, because I love that. And we should have God, Jesus Christ, plastered all over our hearts and lives and everything as well. The Bible says an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent. Fervent, that's a hot word. It means hot. That's what it means. Hot. We talk about kindling a fire, right? Hot, man. Fervent worship. Man, when we're excited about it. Man, I tell you, the old mealy mouth drag in. You can all hear the feet shuffling on the carpet. You shuffle in and we get in our seats and plop down. You know, all right, everybody stand. Listen, I want to tell you something about singing. Singing is part of the worship. Amen. It ain't time to go over and chat and flip around through your purse and looking at your cell phone. Sing to God. He sees this stuff. It's part of the worship. Fervency. In order to get well, you know, we must become a worshiping church. And then the second thing we see is an evangelistic church, and we see that right there. The Bible says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Man, every day. Now, you know, man, when somebody gets saved once a year anymore, man, you get all excited about, woo, somebody got saved today, whoopee. Thousands of people getting saved on a daily basis. And it ain't because they had a real good preacher either. He couldn't do it all. You know, it was because all the people were bringing them in and living life, you know, and talking about the Lord. You know, the early church, everything that they did accumulated in evangelism. Everything, the fellowship, the giving, the loving, the prayers, the driving focal point was evangelism, leading people to Christ. Proclaiming Christ was never seen as an optional thing. It's almost like now, you know, in the church today, it's like we got the church and we got all the stuff that's going on in the church. And then going out and trying to lead somebody to Christ has almost gotten to be like an extracurricular activity. This is like a little extra thing. It's like for the select few. You know, boy, you know, somebody's going to go out and lead them. You know, boy, you know, listen, they all thought that that's what they should have been doing. And that's what they did do. I mean, they went out and it wasn't an extracurricular thing. It was the main thing. The main thing for everybody else. All the other stuff was just fluff that went around that. It's not a job that's handed out. Evangelism wasn't a job that was handed out to a select or special committee. It wasn't scheduled for a set time on a particular day of the week. They turned every situation into an opportunity to share Christ. Every situation an opportunity to share Christ. And then the third thing we see that it was a learning church. In verse 42, it said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And that word doctrine just means teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. They learned and they continued in what they learned. Now, how many of you have to keep relearning and relearning and relearning? I mean, if I have to deal with math very much, I would have to go back and relearn and relearn. I did it in school because I had to, but, you know, I'd have to go back. But they learned and they continued in what they learned. They didn't have to keep ever learning. The Bible talks about that, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth, right? And so there's too many people that, you know, they take one step forward and 10 steps back. Ever learning, coming and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. The early church learned and then they moved ahead. They went from the milk of the word to the meat of the word. They just kept learning. They kept growing. See, because what happens is, and the Bible talks about this too, in that section where it says ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You can't always be a student. You know, if you're 50 years old, still in college, you've been there since high school, something wrong with you, right? Hey, I mean, you eventually become teachers. We should be teaching the word, telling people, you know, and know what you're talking about. A lot of people don't know, but we need to do that. So it was a learning church. And they learned, they grew, and it changed their lives. And it changed how they lived because they learned what the gospel said. So if we're going to get well, then, you know, we must become a learning church as well. Amen. And then the last little point here, it was a loving church. It was a loving church. It said, man, they had fellowship and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them as every man had need. And boy, you know, and it said they went from house to house. In other words, they fellowshiped with each other and they ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. It was a happy time. Isn't it a happy time? And you get together and you have little dinners and all that thing. You know, one of the best, one of the neatest things that we do, I think, and my wife and I have talked about doing it more often, but one of the coolest things, you know, and we look forward to it, is every Christmas Eve when we have our Christmas Eve service and then we invite anybody that wants to come. We know everybody can't, but that comes over to our house on Christmas Eve. We got our church family there and boy, we're eating and snacking and, you know, and we're talking and laughing and it's Christmas Eve and we're having a good time. You don't have to wait till Christmas Eve to, you know, to do that. But yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can come anytime, bring food, come anytime. But That's what they did. They had fellowship and they were happy. They were excited. It's a happy time right there. And they love that. The Bible says by this, by love shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Amen. If you have love one for another. They were a loving church. I think that was the thing probably. I don't know. We get a lot of information from television shows. The Romans, you always picture the Roman guard. They got the whip and they're always cracking everybody. They go down the sidewalk and you look at them wrong. I don't know if it was like that or not, but it just seems like there might not have been a whole lot of love going on. There was class situation. You had Jews and Gentiles, and then also you had the caste type society, the upper class and a lot of lower class, and they looked down on each other and all that. Man, here the church pops up on the scene. Everybody loved it, and they were just like loving one another. People were attracted to that. They loved, and I think that was what drew them to the church, drew them to Christ. Who wouldn't want to join up with that? Man, when nobody's loving you, who wouldn't want to join up where people are loving you? I think that's an important thing right there. And I'll say this in closing. I didn't know it's not a real long message, but wanted to get to these points. That first church, they didn't have a standard. They didn't have the book of Acts to go back and say, well, let's see, this is what we ought to be doing. We ought to be praying, we ought to be worshiping, we ought to be loving, we ought to be learning. They didn't have that. Well, how did they know what to do? They didn't. But they had Jesus Christ living in and through them. Their Christianity was a reality. And I tell folks this, the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed. It tells us that. And you ought to study. Sometimes you get in a point in your life where you're just not sure about something. Maybe it's some little, I don't think there's that many gray areas, but there's a few. And, what do I do about that? Well, the Holy Spirit of God is leading. If you're saved and the Holy Spirit of God's dwelling in your heart, He's always going to lead you the right way. Always going, I don't know what, they didn't know what to do. Holy Spirit of God dwelling in their heart. It was real. It was a real thing. And they had the real thing. And so they were genuine believers filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And this, what you see in 41 through 47 is what, it's not like they said, even though we have it as a standard and I'm kind of preaching it that way, it's not like they said, okay, this is what we ought to be. The Holy Spirit of God was in their hearts. They were real believers. This is what it produced. This was the results. We just have it recorded. See, you getting my drift here? It's not like we say, hey, we got to do this and we got to do that. And preacher says, we got to do this or we'll have a church that's like the New Testament church. You just get filled with the Spirit of God. That'll be produced right there. That'll be produced. That's the key, and that's the thing that we have to look at. Let Jesus Christ rule and reign in your lives. This will be the result. And we can have the same kind of church today that they had in that day if we let Jesus Christ rule and reign in our hearts as well. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand.